Hi Diamonds, and welcome to today's episode with me, your host Naleli Star. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about self-healing. I initially wanted to do this episode with one of my best friends, but adulting happens. We just like can't find a time to really sit and converse. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and record, and then I'm gonna have her on another topic altogether. I mean, she's diverse like that, but I really wanted to talk about self-healing because we live in a world where we're constantly traumatized. I was listening to a vlog on YouTube watching, and the lady or the specialist was actually saying, you know, we accumulate small traumas as we get through life. Like, nobody is spared from trauma. People just are able to identify trauma better. People are able to deal with trauma better. People are able to adjust to trauma better. But all of us in this world, as long as you are a human being, I don't know about animals, but as long as you are a human being, you are going to go through trauma. And I really, really love I love what she said, the example that she gave when she said, you know, you could come from a family that is loving, from a family that is very supportive, from a family that communicates openly and respects each other's opinions and, you know, are all encompassing and inclusive, but you end up in a school where you get bullied. You end up in a school where your teacher is rude to you. You end up in a school or in an environment, it could be a group setting, where somebody just says something awful to you, like you're ugly or you're fat or you won't amount to anything. And I tell you, those kinds of things, they stick with you. And I know that because I'm going to tell you a story. I don't like to talk about this story so often because I feel like it's part of a life that it's a part of my life that I have compartmentalized mentally. I don't like to talk about it as much. I don't even like recalling it from time to time. And as a parent, when I'm just trying to mute my phone so that, you know, you don't hear all the unnecessary notifications. When I think about my kids, when I think about my girls, especially because I've never been a boy, so with Eddie, really, I do a lot of guesswork. But with the girls, you know, I constantly tell my daughter, where you are, I have been, and I know you're young, but then there's certain things that, you know, you hear from people, there's certain things that you observe when you are away from home, when you're at school, when you're out maybe with your cousins or your friends or whatever, and they're going to have an impact on you. I remember there was a time when my daughter is thin. Majority of the times I've actually said to some of my friends that I honestly want to like boost her weight, because sometimes I really get worried, like, okay, why are you so skinny? And one day I was working out, and she said, I want to go jogging with you because I want to be slim. And I'm looking at her like, child, you're as slim as they get. Your waistline is what I would kill to have. So no, I don't know who told you that you need to get slim, but you are as slim as you can get. And I think I went out jogging, but then it really bugged me, like, why is somebody telling my child that they need to lose weight? Because this child, when I look at them, looks underweight, you know. So that day we had a conversation, and I was just telling her, you know, you're beautiful the way that you are. I was just affirming her, and I was telling her point blank, and I made her say it a couple of times. I said, you were born pretty. Nobody can give you your pretty. Nobody can take away the pretty that you were born with. You are that girl. You are the shit. You are it. So anywhere where you go, whoever it is that you talk to, whatever it is that they say, don't let their projected insecurities make a home in your mind. And I think we had that conversation for like the next couple of days. Every time that, you know, she'd come and say good morning, or every time they were saying our good nights, I would make her say it, like, well, what did I say about you're pretty? And she would say back to me, I was born pretty. Nobody can give me my pretty, and no one can take away my pretty, because I am pretty just as I am. So yeah, but I wanted to tell you a story from my teenage years. So when I was in high school, for whatever reasons, you know, I never used to drink heavily when I was in high school. For whatever reasons, some friends of mine, and myself being the highest contributor, decided that we should buy alcohol. I was in grade 12, and I feel like I wasn't like the brilliant, the best student in my class, but I was somewhere around the cream de la shit. So I was doing quite well for myself. And you know, I had a goal, like, you know, UNZA at that time was like the goal, the University of Zambia. And so yes, a couple of friends and myself, we got together, and we put some money together. We got that alcohol, so we drank. It was good. It was fun. The following day, apparently, the authorities got wind of that information, you know, and we started getting interrogated. You know, we tried to play smart and all that, but eventually we got caught. And some people were suspended, depending on the on your contribution in the scandal. Unfortunately, because I was a contributor, I was expelled from school. So this is like August. I have exams that I will be writing. I think grade 12 is right around October. So you can imagine how terribly of a mistake that was. I got kicked out of school. I went home, and honestly speaking, I could not look myself in the mirror. Like, I couldn't. And I just thought just how so heartbroken my mother would be. I was a good student. I really was trying my best. And she was doing everything that she could to make sure that I get a proper education. I was like one of the best schools in our province. And listen, that woman went forth and back. Like, she went above and beyond for me. Like, there's a time that my sister and I were talking, and I was telling her, you know, mommy used to send me groceries like every month, and like pocket money like every month. I didn't know that my other siblings, you know, were not privy to that. But because I was at a school, you know, where she suspected I might be under a lot of pressure to match up to other kids, she really, really did try her best. So, you know, ending up in a situation like that was very, very daunting for me. And I couldn't face myself. As a matter of fact, I couldn't see a future for myself beyond that, because up until that point, I had really, really messed up. So I did the only thing that I thought was the solution at that time. I tried to take my life. I took a lot of pills. I passed out. The next thing I woke up, I was in hospital. My mom was by my bedside. It was a very confusing moment, because, like, I wasn't supposed to survive that. I made sure of it. I mean, I was counting the pills. But then I went into counseling, and I was talking to this counselor, and she was asking me, but why? I told her, I can't see myself past this. I don't see how a person like me can heal from something so grave. Of course, at that time, I wasn't thinking I need to heal from this. I need to resolve, you know, the mess that I got myself into. But I just told her, I can't see myself beyond this. Like, for me, school has always been my thing. And now I'm kicked out of school. I don't have school. Where do I stand without school? Because school is my thing. It's my identity. It's what I do. And I was just explaining to her. I remember saying, I feel so ashamed. I don't feel worthy of being called my mother's child because a daughter that she raised could not make the mistake that I made. And it was just a very confusing time anyway. But what I'm trying to get to is I had my mother's support. I go through that phase the best that I could, you know, with additional mistakes. I don't even want to get into that. Like I already told you, I have compartmentalized this. I don't like to think about it. I don't like to talk about it. And the results are out. So I told you I had an exam like in October. So I went back to school. I wrote my exams. I went back home. I was waiting for the results. Honestly speaking, I wasn't very confident. I didn't know what to expect. And there goes 15 points. When the results were out, my mom insisted that we need to go and collect them. She didn't want somebody to get them for me because last time, I think when I wrote my grade 9 exams, she sent somebody who was getting for their daughter to get for me. And they came back with the report that I had failed. When she sent someone to go and collect my things, because at that time, I don't know about now, but at that time, we'd leave our things there. So I left my trunk, I left my what. So she just wanted somebody to just pick those things up and bring them back home. And the person who was picking them up said, well, why are you removing your daughter from a good school? Like, what's the problem? What's the problem with the school? Blah, 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 blah. And she said, no, actually, her mom has already received the news that she failed, but, you know, I didn't fail, so... This time she insisted that we need to go and collect the results ourselves. So, no names mentioned, but those who are at my school already know who I'll probably be referring to. We go into the sister's office. Yes, I was at a convent school. We go into the sister's office and we're getting my results because we have to sign for them. And she looks at them. And she goes, you could have done so much better. But with these results, you amount to nothing. Maybe you will get a teaching diploma, not even a degree, teaching diploma at Nkrumah. So Nkrumah at that time was not even a university. It was just like a teacher's college and blah, 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 you know, looked down on. And, you know, this is an authority figure in my life, one that I looked up to, one that I respected. And for them to say that, point blank in my face as they threw my results across the table. I just heard my mother say, that is a lie from the pits of hell, right to her face. And I was there like, okay, there's my other authority figure. And she said, this child is going to do whatever it is that God has destined for her. Just because you don't believe it does not mean that it's not going to happen. But you know, here's the thing about the human mind. As I have learned and experienced, we are more inclined to seeing and acknowledging the negative in our lives or in our environment. It takes time for us to actually acknowledge or spot or see the positivity. So between the positive that my mother was saying and the negative that, you know, that school manager was saying, I'm not going to lie. The negative statement really stuck with me. I went back. It was applying for school. I applied. My mother told me, you know what? These results are good enough. Applied to UNSA. At that point, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. So applied to UNSA. I applied. I got rejected. Okay, no. If not law, then, you know, you can specialize in whatever humanity course. Guys, sure. I applied. And I got rejected. So that was like rejection number two. At that point, I just told my mother, I don't think that I'll ever be a degree holder. Sister so-and-so was correct. I should just probably aim for a diploma. And lo and behold, I applied for a diploma. So I have a diploma in project management, thanks to my ex-boyfriend, who suggested, you know what, why don't you do project management? It's the upcoming thing. So I did project management. And, you know, the very fact that I applied once, and it was still under the University of Zambia, but it wasn't a degree. I applied once and I got accepted. It just felt like an affirmation of what that sister said. The only thing that I'll ever be good for is a diploma. So yeah, I did my diploma and I got out of there. I didn't even graduate. They just gave me the damn paper. And at that point, after I did the diploma, I started looking for employment. A lot of people were like, you know, you need to like get a degree. It's going to be easier, you know, to help you find employment if you have a degree. And, you know, all this while, remember, I'm in a community, I'm in a family. So sometimes tongues will wag. I'm not saying I was the best teenage child, but I was a child regardless. So, you know, there are many things that would get said about you. I think, so that's it from the academic perspective. I got my diploma. And at some point, I really wanted to settle down. It just felt like this is what is acceptable, you know. For the mistake that I made, this is my payment. I will never get a degree. At that time, I think private universities were not even popular. And then, you know, I grew up in a family of four. And like I said earlier, I was not a perfect child, literally. I think when I think back, I had my own issues. But you know, now that I'm a parent myself, I think I try to understand things a little bit further or a little bit deeper, not to, you know, pee on my mother's parenting parade. She did the very best that she could with the capacity that she had, and I love her for that. But besides her, I was being parented also by other people, directly and indirectly. And there's a comment that came from one of my aunties that, honestly speaking, took me a very long time to get over. I'm at 18 minutes, I can see, and I'm not even halfway done with what I want to say, so this one's going to be a long one. Get ready. You know, she compared me to my elder sister. And she said, in our local language, if only you had two of those daughters. You know, if only my mother had two of my elder sister, maybe, just maybe, she would have won the jackpot. And my mother's response to that, I don't know if I'm saying it correct, but that is what I heard. Because at some point I was like, you know, sleeping in my mother's bedroom. I was that kid. Yeah, whatever. And she said, "Mwamba kimwasisete," something like that. I was young. It's a long time ago. But it was something like that. And my translation as I got to ask in the years that followed is that, you know, the womb is like, I don't know how I can say it, but from it, you cannot produce the same thing. So you will produce different kinds from it just because, you know, It's from, you give it the same input, doesn't mean that you're going to get the exact output. And I didn't know. I just felt grateful. It was like, for her, she had really made peace with the sort of person that I was. And I think majority of the times it really did feel like that. I'm grateful for it. But it was that aunt's negative comment that really, really stuck with me for a very long time. And so, I hope my sister doesn't listen to this particular episode. Just this one. Anyway, so for a very long time, it really, really felt like, I think after that comment, it just felt like I was in an stated competition with my elder sister because I wanted to prove that I am better than her. I was a teenager. Please don't even roll your eyes at me like not interested. So, and that I think brought about a lot of friction because even if she does something innocently, whether like it's good or it's like bad, I just, in the back of my head, it just always felt like she's doing that because she knows that she's the better daughter and that I could never amount to where she is. So for a very long time, it was like cats and dogs between me and my older sister. Cats and dogs, cat and dog. And but also I noticed that for a very long time, like I became a sponge for negative comments. And I think in one of my episodes, I don't know whether it's already out or it's gonna be coming out, I'm not sure, but I did say that for a very long time I was the sort of person that would embody emotions. Listen, if I'm upset, you're not only see that I'm upset, you will feel in my atmosphere, in my presence, when you come close, that this person is upset. I was that sort of a person. And you know, if I'm offended, if something horrible, you do something horrible to me, it's almost like I would carry that hurt, that baggage. I would carry it like for years to come. And I have this tendency. Well, I think now I'm kind of healing it. But in the past where I'll just sit and just replay that hurtful moment. Like just replay it over and 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 over. Until I feel what I felt when I was offended or when I was hurt or when that incident happened. And that allowed me to sort of carry the pain. So I would carry pain that is like 5 years old, like 6 years old. I would carry it along with me. Like I'll just pile up with it. I'll just pile up with it. I'll just pile up with it. And you know, at some point it just felt like I couldn't breathe because even the smallest things would literally take me on a spiral of just hurt. And I'd feel things so intense, especially the negative emotions like the sadness, you know, the anger, the bitterness, the disappointment. I'd feel them so intense, so much that if like people are evaluating, it always felt like, aren't you overreacting? And, you know, I got to learn that every time that I responded to, you know, a hurtful situation, I wasn't just responding to that hurtful situation. I was responding based on all the hurt that I did not heal from. And I think years back, that's when I really, really started unpacking myself and, you know, peeling off all those layers of, you know, sometimes you don't want to do the inner work. You just want to do the outside work. You just, you know, I should feel good. As long as I'm able to like pretend and, you know, lie my way through it, then that's fine. That's okay. I never healed from the mistake that I made when I was in grade 12. I felt like I had gone on with my life, especially when I finally got accepted to like study a degree at the University of Zambia. But honestly, first of all, I started something that I wasn't even passionate about because I at some point I just wanted to prove that I could get a degree. I felt like if I got a degree, then I would heal. Then I would have compensated, you know, for that mistake that I made. But no. So even to this day, like when you ask me about like, oh, what I've studied, I've done adult education. I love education, but I feel like I should have done like education from its management context, curriculum design. Those are things that I'm very, very passionate about, and those are things that now I'm easily drawn to. So I'm not saying I should have still ended up a lawyer. I don't think that I'm passionate about law enough to actually pursue it as a career. I don't know. Maybe if I chose that path and it panned out for me, maybe I would have fallen in love. But from where I stand now, I feel like that's where I am. And that does not mean that I'm even like looking down or shunning the opportunities that my degree has accorded me, because there are certain people who actually appreciate adult education. But it's not what I wanted to do. And sometimes when we're having the conversation about really what is adult education, I cannot explain it without a Venn diagram. And I really dread being asked the question, what is adult education? Because even if I do it, I don't fully understand it. I haven't yet come to the full appreciation of what it really is as a field of study. And sometimes it's a little embarrassing for me, but also very frustrating. But yeah. It took me a very long time to actually get to a point where, no, I'm still hurting. I am still resentful. Especially, I think there's a time when I was looking for employment and somebody gave me a recommendation to somebody who was in a recruitment position. And they looked at my papers and they said, we're not recruiting for this, but we're recruiting for something else. And for a very long time, sometimes when you talk to people who, you know, who are recruiting, they'd always ask, like, I've never heard of adult education. I've heard of all sorts of education, but not, you know, not necessarily adult education. And being put in that position where you have to explain something that even yourself when now you don't like fully understand always made me feel frustrated and very embarrassed and very ashamed. But I continued. I want to talk specifically about the time that I realized that I did not heal from the unforgiveness that I harbored against myself. If only all the time when something does not go my way, I would always think to myself, if only I did the right thing. If only I did not contribute, you know, if only maybe, you know, if I was sleeping, you know, if I was watching, or I don't know whether the others were dancing or watching, you know, a movie in the school hall or whatever. But it felt like all the time the things that don't go my way, I would go back to that moment all the time. And I would feel the pain that I felt at that point when I decided it's no longer worth doing. It's no longer worth living if I made this mistake. And it was even more so difficult when I was searching for employment. There was a time when I was desperately looking for employment. And, you know, I had to like come to terms with the fact that, okay, it's not every field that, you know, just because I have done a little bit of this, and that's literally what adult education is you've done a little bit of this, you've done a little bit of this, you've done a little bit of that, you've not quite specialized in anything. Is that's one of the reasons that really pisses me off about the course, but it has its advantages. So majority of the times people would look and they say, but you've not specialized, when they look at your transcript, you've not specialized in anything. And like I said, every time that somebody would give me a negative response, every time that, you know, I would come in contact with like a person who needs to like make me explain what adult education is and explain what kind of value I bring to the profession and blah, 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 blah. I would always, always mentally go back to that point where I made the mistake. I don't even know who came up with the idea to buy the alcohol, but I always, always went back to that point. And I've never told anybody that is where I would go. It would just fill me with so much sadness. And I would just break down and just cry, whether it's in the bathroom or it's in my bed in the night. I just, I just felt like I just need to find a way to just go back and just fix it. But as you know, you can't go back and fix it. And I think years later, as I settled into my role, you know, one of the things that my boss now actually said was, you know, you have such a special combination of, you know, academic qualifications and, you know, experience. It's just what we needed for a role like this. Everybody that who sent in their CVs, you know, in the extremes, but you're just somewhere in between where you know a little bit about this and you know a little bit about this and you know a little bit about this and you know your education mix is just perfect for this. So I feel like that was one of the statements. My boss says a lot of things. He's a guy that's full of compliments, really. I feel like that statement that he made was such a moment of redemption, because trust me, after that, I worked differently. Like I looked at my papers very differently. But again, it didn't heal the pain that I carried. So again, I needed to do a lot of soul searching. And you know, it's been a journey. It started off really slowly, and at some point it really like got hectic. But one of the things that I will tell you is healing generally is a compassionate process. It's not aggressive. Like you're not gonna get it done like within a week or within a day or within hours. I mean, if there's anybody who's experienced that, good for them, especially when it comes to the mental and excuse me, the mental and the emotional. Like if you got that on lockdown, like very, very much good for you. I'm happy for you. But what I have noticed, and from the conversations that I've had with other people, is that you need to be compassionate. And as human beings, we have this tendency of being compassionate with other people, but seldom ever being compassionate with ourselves. So it's not aggressive in the sense that, you know, it happens bit by bit. I was listening to something, I think, the other day. I don't know if you people have like heard of Inyala. Like my mom used to make a big deal out of her when she was alive. I think just, you know, just being a rebellious child, I refused to like listen to her. But my mom would always tell me, I want you to listen to this woman. I want you to listen to this woman. So, you know, that is when I miss her, and I just feel like, oh, let me just do something that, you know, she'd tell me to do. So I've been listening in bits and pieces to her, and you know, she said something that was like so profound. Like, you know, when you are healing, you're going to feel the pain. It doesn't mean that the pain is going to go away. Like the first day that you feel like, oh, today I'm at peace, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come back. It's going to come back, but when it comes back, it's going to find you a different person. And that's how you know that you are healing, because the pain comes to confront you and it doesn't find the old you. So it is not the pain that you are running away from. It's becoming a new you that is helping you deal better with the pain. That is what the healing process is about. So it cannot be aggressive. It cannot be aggressive. It cannot be accomplished in one day, because it's a repetitive process. But every time that you go on the spiral, at that point where you confront the pain, you're confronted as a better person, as a different person, as a person who understands it better, and as a person who's going to to respond to that pain differently. That's how you know that you have healed. And then healing means accepting all of you, including the versions of you that you don't approve of. I never approved of that girl. I never approved of the decisions that she made at that point. And, you know, adult me would always go back and blame her when there's something that is happening in the future, like, sorry, yeah, in the present right now. I'd go back into my past and I'm like, it's you. You're the reason why we're stuck. You're the reason why things are not going. And I'll torment my younger self, you know, because I could not accept
that that younger person is me. That she made that decision. She could have been naive. She could have done better. She knew better. She didn't do better. But I need to show grace. And I haven't showed myself grace. You know, there are certain parts of myself. Like I said, I was filled with shame, you know, that I made such an atrocious decision, you know, a decision that literally, you know, costed me. I mean, I got expelled out of school. But also it's the shame of coming back from a suicide attempt. It's looking at everyone and everybody wanting you to explain yourself. How dare you? Like, to them, yes, you got expelled, but killing yourself should not have been an option. Like, how dare you? And not having enough justification that would satisfy, you know, their questions, I think. It's also that. So for me, I feel like I couldn't accept because I felt shame, and I carried that shame with me all those years, and that shame showed up every time that I was at my lowest. It showed up because it reminded me that maybe, just maybe, if I did things differently, this could not have been my life. So another thing that I want to make note of the healing process of healing yourself is that you can't overcome what you don't confront. So like I said, I have compartmentalized, like it's back in the compartments. But even like one of my coping mechanisms of how to get on with life beyond that episode was to sweep it under the rug. Like, it never happened. Like, I just came on earth. I don't know. Maybe I was like a 15-year-old. And whatever happened, like, I have amnesia. So, you know, let's just carry on. So I never confronted the decisions that I made. I never confronted, you know, how I felt about it, how I felt about myself, you know, how that altered my self-conception. How did I see myself now? You know, one of the things that I feel like came out of that is that for a very long time, I could not trust myself to make decisions. And, you know, again, this is something that came out of really just looking and seeing, you know, what mess did all this, you know, do for me over these years. One of my besties will actually agree with you. There was a time when I was a teenager that I just couldn't make decisions. I actually, majority of the times, I left them to her. I would always ask her, and I would always go with what she said, you know, because I didn't have that kind of like relationship with my mother yet, where, you know, I could freely talk to her, but she was that person for me. And so all the time, I felt like she had to make the decisions. I always left the burden to her to make the decisions because I couldn't trust myself anymore to make the decisions. Like, I didn't have the capacity to make the decisions and actually live with the consequences of my decisions. I hope you get that. And that is such a terrible thing to have to experience as an individual. To go through life not trusting yourself to make decisions regarding your life, regarding yourself. So I had to confront what that did to me. What was it? You know, even just like dating, I would second guess myself. If I'm in a relationship with a person, again, I would like worship the words that would come out of their mouth. Anything that they said was yes and amen. That's the reason why I ended up studying project management, because I couldn't even trust myself to choose a program of study. I had to leave it to somebody else. And I'm not frowning at the fact that I studied project management. I mean, I'm doing my second master's and I'm going to be specializing in project management. So I have no hassle with that. But it's the fact that it wasn't their decision to make, and yet I gave it to them to make because I couldn't trust myself. So healing is letting go of what you think life shoulda, coulda been, and accepting reality, finding the beauty in your current reality, and just allowing the mess, just observing the mess, knowing that even if it's all a mess, your life is not a mess. I love, there was a movie that I was watching, and it was a mother and daughter and another family situation. I don't want to get into it too deep. But then the daughter said to her mother, "Oh, I've messed up my life." And her mother looked back at her and said, "No, honey, you've not messed up your life. You made a wrong decision. Your life is beyond that decision." It's the same thing with us. Like for me, I really had to get into that point where the decisions that I, and I'm just not saying just that one decision, there are many other decisions that I don't even want to bring to the fore, that I've made, I think, in the past, that just kind of feel like, you know, like, no, I think this one, like, messed me up, or, you know, set me years or months back or whatever, even just now in my present. Talk about finances. I just finished reading a book. I did a review. You can look it up on my LinkedIn. I make decisions that sometimes, you know, go wrong, and we are human beings, we're gonna get it wrong. There's only so much that we cannot know everything. We're gonna try to make as calculated as we possibly can calculate when it comes to decisions, but again, there's just so many factors that are unforeseen, you know, that could render our decisions bad. So, and we need to be okay with that. We need to look ourselves in the mirror and just accept that, you know, things didn't go as we planned, and we accept what life is now. We embrace it, and we just try and find the beauty in our current reality. And, you know, just take whatever opportunities that you can create for yourself beyond that. So healing is choosing a different response to a present or reoccurring trauma. It's a gradual process, and sometimes you will get it wrong. So earlier on, I was talking about Inyala and what she said, you know, about healing and it, you know, being a process. Like you can't jump the gun. You literally have to like dance through the rain, or, you know, play in the mud before you get to the other side, showered up. And also how, you know, healing is not the fact that the pain is not going to come back. It's just that every time that the pain comes back or comes knocking on your door, you're just a different person and you just respond differently. But sometimes, because bad habits, old habits die hard, sometimes you will fall back to default Satan. And just because there are times when I've told myself I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to do this differently, and blah, 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 and I've done the inner work and I feel like I've moved on. And then I just get swept off my feet and I'm back to default mode, and I have to get myself out of that default mode and forgive myself and, you know, press on. So sometimes you will get it wrong, but sometimes when it reoccurs and you get it right, still give yourself a pat on the back. If you get it wrong, show yourself grace. Earlier on I said, be compassionate. Healing is a compassionate process. You cannot do it without showing yourself compassion. The only way that you're going to heal is if you show yourself compassion. Another issue that we can talk about is healing is accepting help and comfort from other people, acknowledging that you don't have to do it all alone. You don't have to be by yourself. One of the things that I'm guilty of, I have to say, really, I am guilty, is, you know, there's a person in my life that I always know if I'm at my lowest, especially regarding my relationship with my spouse, I can always go to her, and, you know, we sit and she's going to help me unpack and just sort the mess out. And one thing I really, really love about her is how so honest she is. And trust me, she like drops heavy truths on me. Like in the past 2 years, I think she's helped me get over a really, really huge mountain, a really, really huge hurdle. And it's been with love. And, you know, she's the sort of person who she will speak truth, but you can always trust that that truth is coming from a place of love. So no matter how much it hurts, you just gotta take it, because, you know, she means you no harm. She's not being malicious. She's just telling you as it is. And I love that about her. And before that, I honestly used to just think that I just need to take life, you know, as it comes. Like, I got this. I'm superwoman, you know. That kind of mentality. And these days, no. I tell myself, you know, one of the things that I did last year is I made a list. So maybe some of you actually fall in that category if you're my friend. I made a list, and, you know, they're just people that I know. Okay, if I need to talk about finances, this is a person that I'm going to be talking to about. If I need to talk about my emotions and unpack, whether it's, you know, to do with parenting, it's doing work, you know, relationships, spouse, what, complications, you know. This is the person that I'm going to be talking to. If I want to talk about, you know, planning for the future and blah, 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 blah. Because I'm a person who really loves to talk a lot. So sometimes if and talking helps me to process things. So if I can't talk it out with somebody, especially sometimes if the person who has offended me does not want to talk through this with me to help me process. I know it's not their responsibility, but if you're in my life and you're that kind of person, then at least I can rely on you for that. If they don't, I need to know that I can go to someone else and still find the grace and the space to be able to unpack without feeling like, oh, you're crazy, oh, you're overreacting, or just somebody to just help me unpack. Because if I don't talk, you know, and yes, I can talk to God and pray and blah, but sometimes it helps to actually have somebody who talks back at you. I love to journal, but sometimes, again, it helps to have somebody who just talks back at you and lets you know you're not crazy. Your pain is valid. You know, you felt like this, you feel like this. From what you're explaining, you feel this way, you feel that way, you feel that way. And I had those people, because I took time to actually identify those people and say, okay, if I need, you know, if I'm in a maze and I need to process from this angle, who do I go to? So it's okay to acknowledge that you need the help of other people. So healing is acknowledging the chaos outside and inside of you and trusting that you have the capacity to resolve and withstand the maze. And I think for a very long time, I didn't want to build my capacity. I just thought this capacity you are born with. So if you don't have it, then you don't have it. And I just felt at that point, I don't have it. So if I do not have it, then I need to just rely on other people, for example, to make their decisions for me, because then if it ends up being a mess, I can point at another person and not have to deal with the shame and the blame myself. It becomes easier for me to project it on another person. But now I really worked towards, you know, just building capacity and knowing that, you know, it's going to get messy sometimes. I know how to keep my calm. I know how to keep my peace of mind. I know what I need to do every time. For example, I've told you how I process. That's because I really took time to say, you know what? What is it that helps me heal? What is it that helps me to get over the difficult conversations, you know, or the difficult situations? What is it? Is it writing? Is it worship? You know, is it seeking out a friend and just talking and just pouring my heart out? Is it just sometimes it's just sitting in my feelings? I think majority of my episodes, I have mentioned this over and over again, is where just sit in your feelings. Don't run away. Observe them. Don't embody them. Just observe them. Their feelings, they'll come, but they'll also go. That's one thing that I've learned to appreciate about feelings, is that, you know what? They're not here to stay forever. When I lost my mother, I thought I was going to be grieving forever and ever and ever. I never thought that I would get past, you know, that grieving point. I remember, you know, talking to a counselor and just telling her, just whatever methods that you can use, just throw the entire book at me. Just heal me. I don't want to feel the pain. You know, I've lost somebody so dear to me. I can't deal with the pain. I'm a mother. I'm going through shit right now. I need to be present. I need to focus. And they told me they can't do that. So I'm going to have to, like, you know, get dirty and get messy and, you know, go through it. And it's the same thing with everything else that is, you know, burdening us that we need to heal from. We need to just build the capacity and trust that we are able to withstand, that when things go wrong, we have the capacity to deal with them. I think I saw this on Instagram or wherever, most likely Pinterest actually. But yeah, so the person said, you know, falling in love should not be about this person will never hurt you. It's loving them regardless and trusting yourself to make the right decision for you should they hurt you. I never looked at life the same again. And as a person who easily closes up, especially when I'm disappointed or like literally for me, we can move from 100 to 0 real quick. Like I'm not even like, no, let's hang it at 50. I'm not that person. We're either at 100 or we're at 0. I'm still dealing with that. That's my cross to bear. I'm still working on that. But I'm that sort of person. And, you know, and I feel my emotions intense. Like I said, less intense now, but still, you know, it takes me time to, like, get out of the puddle. So I need to, like, drive myself out of it, like, talk myself, process myself out of it little by little. But again, the only way that you're going to build capacity is if you know when I'm in this state, what are the steps that I need to take to get to the other side or to get to the white flag or to get to the free zone or to get to the, you know, that zone where you can start processing and thinking. So you need to have those steps right ahead. So healing is parenting and reparenting the emotional and psychological wounds that get triggered in offense. So I'm going to talk about reparenting. And I don't want to talk about it myself because I'm still learning about the whole concept. So I'm actually looking for somebody who's like specialized in psychology because there's somebody who's done psychology, like would probably understand it and explain it better. But there's so much power in reparenting yourself. And this is something that has literally helped me a lot. I think in the past few months or like not few months, maybe like 36 months going up, to reparent yourself where you, when you feel triggered, when you feel a wound has been triggered in you, whether it's abandonment, you feel insecure, you feel anxious, you know, you feel all these, they're different wounds that we feel. Again, like I said, I really want to do an episode on reparenting, but I am also looking for somebody to just partner with so that I can, you know, do this straight and good for you guys. But it's just sitting and the way that you would talk to a child in a loving manner, you talk to the child inside of you. So when you feel agitated, you sit with yourself and you baby yourself and you ask yourself, why are you feeling agitated? You know, it's going to be okay. And you reassure yourself. And I tell you, when I do that successfully for myself, I don't know how many hearts I sent myself because I'm just like, ciao, I just loved myself out of this situation. I really feel proud when I reparent myself properly and successfully. It's such an amazing experience. But also, I'm still learning. So sometimes it doesn't pan out as well as it does because I'm still learning. And, you know, sometimes child me is very, very stubborn and very, very loud and, you know, all those things. But yeah, I love her still. I love her still. And I stay with her. I stay with her. I always say I have to stay with her because if I don't stay with her, nobody's going to stay with her. If I don't like myself, if I can't even be patient with child me, then who can I expect that is going to be patient with the child in me? So we start from there. So healing takes courage and it must be intentional. So you must be intentional. You must see, okay, this is where the problem is, or this is where my suffering lies, or it could be many, many areas. And you could just choose, you know what, this is where I want to start from. This is where I want to build the capacity to be able to deal with the mess. So create a safe haven. So mentally and physically. Physically, my mat, my yoga mat is my happy place. So anytime that I feel anxious, anytime that I'm feeling, you know, all sorts of confusion, or I just need to clear my mind, I just go on my mat and I just do a sequence. Like I just put a video on and I just do my sequence and I just move and I just, and literally I'm present in that moment and I just feel my muscles, they stretch and all this and all that. One of the things that I didn't know before I started doing yoga, you guys, is that the tension So the emotional tension, the tension that we feel in our body, it's actually trapped in the hips. I always used to think it's in the chest or in the brain or whatever. It's apparently in the hips. So when you're stressed, you actually do a lot of poses or a lot of movement that helps you to open the hips so that you can release that tension and release that stress. So yeah, I always go to videos that I know, okay, this has movements that is definitely going to like open up my hips and just help me flex and all that. So mentally, your thoughts, you know, the way I treat my mind these days, it's like it's a beautiful, beautiful garden. So I treat it as a beautiful garden and I plant beautiful thoughts. I plant beautiful thoughts, but also I take time to weed out the terrible, terrible thoughts so that, you know, the garden can look beautiful and it can be attractive and it can give to me the bliss and the joy that it's supposed to give to me. And lastly, healing can be intense and requires patience. Like I said, sometimes you feel like, oh yes, I have done the work, I have healed. Then, you know, a couple of days later, it's like, ta-da, hello, we're back. So you need to be patient, and it can be intense because it frustrates you sometimes. You think like you've done this. There are times when I just say, you know, what kind of lesson, Lord, do you want me to learn from this? I keep encountering this issue all over again. Like over and over and over and over, and I'm just so sick and tired of it. I want to get over it. Like, I've done the work, just let it go away. I don't want to have to deal with it again. But you gotta be patient. You're gonna feel a lot of frustration. It's gonna get intense sometimes. You're gonna cry. You're gonna feel like shit. But just know that you're doing a good job. And you shouldn't stop just because on a particular day you fall back to defaults or you feel like you can't face it and you brush it under the rug does not mean that you've not made progress. Trust me, the progress is little, but you only get to see it over the years. If somebody told me, like maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that I would be where I am right now emotionally and just mentally, you know, the way that I just enjoy time with myself or just enjoy being me, I would have told them, no man. Like, it's not possible. Like, that's not me that you're talking about, because it was a lot of mess in my head. It was a lot of mess in my heart, and it was a lot of stress in my hips. So, like I said, I told you when I was at 18 minutes, so this one is going to be a long one because there was a lot of storytelling that went into it, but that's my take on healing yourself, and that's what my journey really has looked like from the time that I decided I need to look myself in the mirror and I need to peel back the layers. So until my next episode, stay blessed and keep shining diamonds.